trust in his love. I will trust the Lord, oh my soul.
All right, so we are going to finish off a series that's kind of dating back a couple months now called Investing Wisely. And the basic idea of the whole thing is that life is an investment, that God has given us talents, gifts, time, energy, resources, relationships, and he is very interested in how we invest that. In fact, much of life can be understood as a big investment. The good news is God is on our side for increase. God is on our side for his kingdom to multiply in our lives, that the goodness of heaven would be tasted more and more and transform our current broken reality. And a lot of that comes down to, as Jesus spoke in this very famous parable of the talents or of stewardship, however you want to say it, it's about how are we investing what God has given us. And so we said, even looking at a different parable, that there is a hierarchy, a very clear hierarchy in Jesus's mind. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. He talks about both are important, and we've gone there, and so you can check back on the podcast or the website if you want to look back. But what we see is there's these different capitals. There's financial capital, there's intellectual capital, there's physical capital, our time and our energy, there's relational capital, and ultimately there's spiritual. And Jesus is very clear that the most important thing we're made for in life is that our spiritual capital would grow. That connection with God, that intimacy with God, that real living relationship with God would continue to multiply. And in fact, all those other capitals are meant to serve. They're good, they're blessings, they're gifts, and they can be enjoyed, but they're also all meant to funnel towards serving this ultimate capital of we are spiritual beings. We are made by God and made for God. We are these spiritual creatures that are not alive. We're not connected with the life-giving source unless we are pursuing an ever-increasing intimate relationship with God. And so this morning, we're just going to finish off. We've been talking about spiritual capital for several weeks. I did it last week. My wife did an amazing message a few weeks ago, and we're going to close that out right now with both an invitation and a challenge. So you can jump in your Bibles to John 37 and 38. Excuse me, John 7, 37 and 38. And Jesus, it says, he got up on the last and greatest day of the festival. The Jewish people know how to party. I mean, there's like a festival every other month. It's awesome. It's like God actually designed it. So God knows how to party and he likes fun with purpose, with worship. Anyways, so we're not going to go into the festival that it was. For our purposes, we just want to focus here on there's a big crowd. They're having a big party. They're having a lot of fun. They're eating good food. And Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty, think about this, you're at a party, I mean, it kind of fits actually for today. So there's a lot of food, there's a lot of drink, there's a lot of options. And Jesus says, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. Read that last little part one more time. Anyone who's thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. That is an amazing picture. Rivers, you come to Jesus, you believe in him, you'll learn to drink. Rivers of living water will flow from within them. So the picture is flow out of them, welling up from inside and flowing out. And I shared a bit of this idea and message with some of our leaders a couple weeks ago, but I feel like this is something that the Lord's put on my heart. We've all got to grab hold of this as a church family. There's this incredible invitation from Jesus to learn as we come to him, to learn to drink, to learn how to experience the living water that's already inside of us, which is an interesting concept, that wants to flow out. And so ultimately, what I think Jesus is inviting us to do is, as a follower of Christ, that we get the privilege and the invitation to learn how to dig our own well. That there is a wellspring inside of us. So Jesus is saying, a wellspring of supernatural Holy Spirit goodness and power. And we've got to learn how to go to Jesus and drink, to find it, to dig down, to excavate, and tap into the incredible power and presence of God that's already in there, according to Jesus. It's so fascinating. Sometimes we picture, right, God's way out there, right? And he is, he's everywhere. But this picture that Jesus is wanting us to grab hold of, this image, is that the power and presence of God, as you believe in him and receive on him, it's already in you. And Jesus says, so I want you to learn how to let it flow out, to experience it, to taste it, so it's flowing out of you. And an image that I think is appropriate is that we would learn how to dig our own well. And so I want to look at a few different things here as this kind of picture that Jesus talks about flows throughout Scripture. And this isn't the only place where he talks about living water. If you remember the woman at the well, very similar picture. When I give you to drink, then it's going to be flowing out of you. But a few things, three things just to grab onto, that we want to learn how to dig our own well for a few reasons. One is that so you can be a giver and not just a receiver. You are made to literally transform the world around you. Like, you are made to be so full and overflowing with the presence of God that the world around you literally changes. That's an incredible picture that God gives us. But a key to that, a massive key, is we've got to learn how to dig. Because here's where the rubber hits the road in our culture. Lots of people are way too dependent on having a little drink or a little bucket of water from someone else's bucket. And in fact, our culture pushes us in this direction. We live in what is called a consumer culture, where we are taught to wake up in the morning and look around at our options of who is going to provide for us the goods and services that we like the best, right? Black Friday is coming up in a week. That is one of the most absolute extreme examples of that. As these companies bend over backwards to prove to you that you're worth it and you deserve it and come to us because we will give you the best possible goods and services. And so we're taught to kind of have this perspective that everything in life is going to just serve me, and I need to find the place that will just have the best goods and services. Now, the danger is it's very easy to then bring that in and lump that in, even unintentionally, to our relationship with God. For example, let me give you a phrase that is nowhere in the Bible. What church do you go to? I go to this church to get fed. Nowhere in the Bible. That is a consumer mindset. I'm going to go somewhere. Maybe it's McDonald's. Maybe it's Castañeda's, because that's way better food. And I'm going to get fed. I'm going to go there. Bring that into the church world. Where are you going today to get fed? Where are you choosing to go? What has the best, you know, goods and services? I'm going to, well, if it X, Y, and Z church does, then I'm going to go there. And over time, the question still remains, well, what church do you go to? I go to this church. I go to this church. That is not a biblical concept. Now, I'm going to go to a worship service this morning at X and Y Church to encounter the Lord? Amen. Absolutely. But over time, the question should change and our answers should change to, oh, I don't just go to a church. You mean God has the church that God has called me to be a part of is this church or that church? But even in that language, right, we're unintentionally, for many Christians, it's just in the mindset of, well, I'm never going to become part of a family. I'm just going to keep going to a place as long as it fits the appropriate needs and feelings. Now, the wrestling match is that God wants to meet our needs. And God says he spreads a table before us. And Jesus tells Peter to feed the sheep. So these are all okay concepts, but we've just got to be aware, are we filtering them through a biblical picture or through a cultural picture? And what I just threw out there is where I would say that's where the cultural picture goes too far, is if the question we're always asking and the question we're always answering is, I go to this church. Now, we can go to worship services and Bible studies and home groups and discipleship groups and prayer services. We can go to those things to encounter the Lord, but we've got to remove from our mindset this idea that I would just forever go to a place. And here's why I think that's so important. Because right along with that mindset is the mindset that I'm going to go and I'm going to find the place where someone else is going to give me a drink of water. Someone else that does a good job, I'm going to look for the person who does a really good job of giving me a drink of water. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus tells Peter, feed the sheep. So there's something very right and okay and good about it. However, if we continue to put it through our cultural mindset, what we can also mean by that is, I've got to get a drink from someone else's bucket because I don't know how to dig my own well. And that's where we can be really missing out. Because Jesus has this incredible invitation that says every single follower of mine can learn how to come straight to me and learn that there is the holy presence of God already in me. And I just want to learn how to excavate enough to dig it and tap into it and feel it and recognize it and know it and experience it. And so that is an incredible invitation. And what I love so much about it is that Jesus does this in a very public setting. We got to see context. So much of interpreting the Bible and understanding it is seeing the context. So here's the great news. Jesus didn't give this invitation to the select few elite leaders, super pastors that are just called to be God's favorites. This was to the crowd where Jesus said, anyone who's thirsty, you can come straight to me. And when you believe in me, something miraculous happens. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of you, so you have rivers of living water that are right there bubbling, in fact, fighting to get out. What this means is we all have equal access to God. There is no position that puts anyone in a greater favor where they can automatically, because of a title or a role, have more access to God. That the Holy Spirit is available and fellowship with God is available on an equal access level with, what did Jesus say? Whoever, oh, that's a cool word. Whoever believes in me. And even, let's press it a little further. Ephesians 2:18. Through him, Jesus, we both, all of us is what Paul's saying. He's talking about Jews, Gentiles, he's trying to draw this picture. Everyone, all of us, because in that time, again, context, so the Jews had this picture of the Gentiles were far off from God, outside of the covenant, could not be saved. And so he's arguing, showing this incredible news of the gospel is that it's for everyone. And he goes on to say, so for through Jesus, we all have access by one Spirit to the Father. That's some of the most incredible information in the Bible. We all have equal access by the Spirit to the Father. That in relation to access to God, there are no positions. We all have access by the Spirit to the Father. So our intimacy with God depends upon our excavation, not our position. And man, is that good news. To know that you don't ever have to look at anyone, anywhere, and say, I couldn't have a relationship with God like that. That must have to do with their title, their position, their education, their whatnot, You don't have to ever and shouldn't ever look at anyone and say, man, couldn't have a relationship with God like that. We all have access by the same Spirit to the same Father. So it's really about, are we learning and are we fighting and clawing to say, I want to invest well. I want to take everything God has given me at this point in life and steward it. I want to take the physical capital, my time, my effort, my energy, my finances, my intellect, my relationship, and I want to pour all that I have into stewarding well, investing these things well, so that I can dig and excavate and grow deeper in my relationship with God. And that's the invitation across the board for all of us. And as we do that, we will all, you're excavating. Whoa, wow, the Spirit of God is there. And there is something so sacred and secret about learning how to excavate in a way where you encounter the Spirit of God. You feel, you know that living water that is in there has just been tasted and it's coming out. And it wasn't dependent upon another person. That is crucial for all of us. Now, I'm not saying that other people aren't important. Like I said, Jesus said, Peter, feed the sheep. There is the whole body of Christ. There's different gifts, different passions, and we're all meant to be together. We'll talk about that in a minute. So I am not in any way diminishing. And I mean, I would feel like I would have nothing of my walk with God if I wouldn't continue to learn a ton from other people. I mean, this is the whole discipleship mindset. No matter how far you go, you always want to have the mindset of, but I want to be discipled by others. I want to learn from others. And so that's where this is a tension to be worked out. There's a difference between learning from others and being dependent upon others. And the very simple litmus test is, can you do it on your own? Or is it just when you hear that person teach, or just when you pray that with that person, or just when you go to X, Y, and Z church service? If it's just those things, that's where the conviction should come in a good way of, I'm made for more than this. There's a Holy Spirit inside of me. There's a fountain of living water inside of me that God wants me to also learn how to excavate so that I've got my own fresh bucket of water, something so much better that if you can have your own river flowing out of you, then gain excuse, you know, excuse me, sir, excuse me, ma'am. Can I dip my little cup in there? I'm a little empty this week. How much better would it be if, you know, rivers of living water flowing out. So Jesus has given us an invitation, but it's also a big challenge. A big challenge for our culture. To say, I'm not going to take an eternal mindset that forever, I'm just going to go to a church, I'm just going to look for people to feed me. Rather, I'm going to look to be part of a church, and I'm going to be blessed by the people, and it's good to have the body bless one another, but I'm also going to take Jesus up on this incredible promise that as I fight and I learn and I dig, man, there's going to be some sacred and secret things that touch my soul like nothing else can. And that is what I want to learn how to have flow out of me more and more. It's just so beautiful. When you do this, and you got to fight for it. You got to fight. It's a learning process. That's why the longer you're here, what you will experience is one of the main things that I'm trying to do, my wife and I are trying to do, is pass on tools to grow and empower people that know how to do this. And we're not diminishing Sunday morning. I love Sunday morning. I love preaching. I love coming together. So I think there's great value in it. But what I want you to see in the practicals, where this goes is, are you taking the lift notes? For example, this is one example. I heard an example 2 weeks ago. Actually, without embarrassing them, they already left, so it doesn't matter. Paul and Heather Smith. They told me. He came up to me and he's like, hey, can you fill in this blank here? I missed it or you didn't say it. And I was like, oh yeah, here it is. He's like, oh, cool. Thank you very much. Because my wife and I, we do a Wednesday date night at Froyo, and we go through it together. Boom! Woo-hoo! You know, like, that's what it's about. And it's not because I'm excited, oh, you think my messages are great. It's like, no, we want to take the truths of God's word, as there's four or five different verses, and we want to talk about them together. We don't just want to say, oh, that was a nice, you know, good message, Pastor. Thanks for not boring me to death for 35 minutes, you know, and they're out the door. It's like, no, this is the starting point. The starting point. Here's a little cup of water. I'm taking my living water and, you know, passing out a little. They're saying, thanks. But now we know we need to go dig. We need to sit before the Lord and we need to say, God, what's your revelation for me? Now, Casey may have a revelation. That's great. And I maybe get blessed by it, inspired by it. Maybe. That's great. But what is it for me? And that's where the word of God is so incredible. God wants all of us to be able to sit before the word of God, the truth of who God is, and for the Holy Spirit to do something that lights you up inside. That it's so real, you can say, I own this. Even though maybe Casey said it, this is not his, this is mine. But I'm serious. And that's, for the people that mentor me, that's how I can relate to that. There's truths that they've spoken into my life. But then through digging, through my own time in the word and in prayer, God lights something up where this is like, I will take this to the grave as real. And this is not because someone else said it and convinced me and brainwashed me. Maybe they introduced the concept. Maybe they showed a truth that I hadn't seen. But now through my own time in the word and in prayer and in sitting and in wrestling and saying, God, make this real, and whew, oh my gosh, this is mine. This is mine. This is real. No one can take this from me. It feels so real. I feel like when I hear them say it now, I'm like, hey, you're copying me. That's what you're made. That's living water. God wants you to be able to sit alone with him or with someone very close and just have those kind of moments where this isn't someone else's water. Now, this is mine. There is nothing like that. And it's so beautiful because then it's, whoa, I'm alive. I mean, the Bible talks about us coming alive in Christ. What's alive in you? Well, you have a living, active Holy Spirit that's in you, and that through these kind of things of excavating and digging, you somehow like dig off enough stuff to where whew, the living water is flowing out of you and you're getting satisfied. You're drinking, as Jesus said, but it's also able to flow out and you're able to give to others. And it is like, oh, that's what it means to be alive. This is not just someone else's water, or this isn't just someone else's ideas. These aren't just interesting beliefs and facts, although we've got to get the truth of the facts right. That matters. But then there is a supernatural thing that God wants to do. And so my encouragement with you is that God is on your side to make this happen. It may not happen immediately. I would say, doesn't happen every day. But God wants you to fight for this. He wants you to say, I can dig. God wants me to dig. And so there's 1,000 different ways, but some of the basics are get in God's word, get some truth, pray, ask God to make it real. Don't read too much that you're overwhelmed or confused. Start small. Get a truth from the Lord that connects with your life, that you know that. Pray until, or read till you found something that connects, and pray, say, God, make this real. There's this old preacher, I don't even remember his name, but you say, how do you prepare a sermon? He would say, I read until I'm full, I think until I'm clear, and I pray until I'm hot. And we can do that daily. If you want something to flow out of you, hopefully a preacher's got rivers flowing out, you read enough till you're, all right, I got something. And you think about it. Okay, what does it actually mean? I want to make sure I'm not making something up. Okay, it actually means this. Wow, Lord, would you make this real? I can't do this. This is your Holy Spirit that will reveal your truth, your beauty, your majesty, your love, your grace, your kindness, your goodness. But this is worth fighting for. I dropped one. Oh my goodness, my 99-cent download. What would I do without it? Two more. We want to dig our own well so we can carry our own weight. Galatians 6 is a very curious passage, verses 1 to 5. Paul's talking to a church. He says, brother and sisters, if someone's caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Here's where we're picking up for us. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they're something, when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Now, as always, there's a lot there. Got to know the context, got to parse it out. Two things I want to highlight here that just at first don't make sense. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens. Verse 5, each one should carry their own load. Carry each other's burdens, but carry your own load. What do we got going on, Paul? Well, Paul's crazy. That's what's going on. Okay, next verse. No, just kidding. There is a difference in meaning. They sound similar, and guess what? It's on purpose. Carry your own. Carry your own. Carry each other's burdens. Carry your own load. There's a difference. A burden has to do with a hardship. A load has to do with your own weight. So carry each other's burdens. When a hardship comes, an attack comes, a struggle comes, be there for one another. Carry that together. But by all means, on a regular basis, learn how to carry your own weight. That's what he's saying. That's what will make a church powerful. I feel like as I was reading this, I had a picture of the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, the presence of God. by his own design, by his own plan, as part of his unfolding story of grace and redemption, the presence of God dwelled in this ark. So this was the most sacred and holy thing for the people of Israel, to carry the ark, and it would be moved to different places. God's presence dwelled in the ark, manifest presence. And so there would be people who were called to carry the ark. I think it's a cool picture of the New Testament church. People would be called to carry the ark. Everyone had to carry their own weight. If someone took some time off and decided, I don't feel like carrying my own weight today, bad stuff's going to happen. So picture it, though. If they're all carrying their own weight, good job. That makes it work. However, let's say there's an enemy who is attacking from a hill, and they shoot an arrow, and somebody gets an arrow in the back of the leg. Then what are they going to do? Oh, just keep carrying your own weight, sucker. You know, too bad for you. No, there's a hardship. So you help that person out. You tend to them. Maybe you need some other help. Maybe you need to surround them. Maybe you need to figure it out. So you're carrying that burden. But on a regular basis, what depends upon the ark going to the destination God has is that every person would make that commitment. I matter, and I'm going to carry my weight. Now, I think that is a beautiful picture of the church. And I feel like kind of God gave it to me. And then, coolest thing, you know, once in a while it happens, the scripture affirmed it. So here we go. Verse Ephesians 2, 18 to 22. I already talked about we have equal access, right? So just keep reading. It's amazing sometimes how the Bible will do this. So verse 18 says we both have the same access by the Spirit to one Father. So you're no longer strangers and aliens. You're fellow citizens with the saints, members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Christ Jesus is the cornerstone. Now he's starting to talk. This is new covenant stuff. Here we go. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So he's talking to a church. He's teaching what does church life look like. And he's saying that together, Jesus is the cornerstone, but you're all a stone in the wall, if you will, as the book of Peter says. We're all a stone in the building that God is building, which is a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Now, are they talking a physical building? No, they're talking about a local church family where together everyone is being built together. Each one matters. Each one is a stone in becoming the dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So it just goes back to the same thing. Everyone matters. If a stone is missing, the building is not being built at the time and the speed and the way that God desires. If we as a church are going to live into and walk into the fullness that God has for us and keep going in the destiny and the destination of continuing to be more and more a place that is filled with God's presence, then everyone matters. Yes, Jesus is the cornerstone, but everyone is part of the building that together houses his presence. That's a crazy thought. It's an incredible thought. It's a wow, what dignity every member of a local family has. What importance. And then it comes back to, and man, how important is it that all of us say, man, I've got to carry my own weight for the sake of my brothers and sisters next to me, for the sake of the destination that God wants to take us as being built into this place, as a family that just houses God's presence powerfully. I matter. Wow. It's awesome. And then number three, we want to learn to dig our own well, and we'll close. This is a similar idea, but I think it's important language. So you can be a contributor, not just a consumer. This is how Paul talks about the body, again, 1 Corinthians 12, you know it well. Verses 4 to 7 and 11, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all. To each. Now, again, that's hugely important. Is Paul talking to just the super special leaders of the church? No. He is talking to the church at Corinth, which, by the way, is full of really messed up people. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And jumping down to 11, all these gifts are empowered by one and the same Spirit who gives them out or apportions them to each one individually as he wills. So, this is massively important that we are all contributors by God's design, contributors to the health of the family. There are gifts that every single person has been given by God, and it's intended so that we could make a positive contribution to a family to make it stronger. But this is a Holy Spirit connection. This is a Holy Spirit. You know how to hear the Holy Spirit and join with the Spirit and listen to the Spirit and operate in the Spirit. And that's that same Holy Spirit that is inside of us, that is that living water that wants to pour out. And so the greater degree to which we learn how to excavate and commune with the Spirit, the more powerfully we can then also be contributors to our brothers and sisters. And so this takes on a dimension of, it's not just about you, it's about your family, your immediate blood family, your big church family, and the people that you do life with. We're meant to be a team. That's another thing that this individualistic culture that we have doesn't teach us. It's just about you. You know, you take care of you, have a good life, do your thing. And God's word all over is like, no, it's learning how to be a family together on mission. Everyone matters. Everyone has to carry their own weight. Everyone has to make a contribution. Everyone gets to make a contribution. Everyone can have this radically intimate personal relationship with God, and everyone can make an important contribution to one another. And in fact, how far we go depends on it. It's that old African proverb. If you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. And that's a very biblical idea here. So, let's pause here. We're going to close out. Chris, come on up here. My wife, you come on up here.
I just wanted to share a picture that I felt like the Lord was giving me. As Casey had the verses up about, you know, each of us basically being an important part of the body of Christ and a steward of the Spirit, I just kept having this picture of all of us having a stream inside of our heart, and it flowed right down the center of the church into one big, mighty river. And that's really, you know, when the body each has what they're meant to bring in their gifts and the intimacy of with the Lord and the power of the Spirit, we come together as, you know, like the Bible says, a mighty nation.
That's good.
And it's just, it's so powerful. And talk about a transforming force for each other. I mean, we can come and dance in the river together. You know, as we come, you know, there's so many one another verses in the Bible. As we come and we each have our own river that we are cultivating throughout the week in our intimacy and closeness with Jesus, we get to come and dance in the river when we come together.
That's great.
Yeah, I want to add one more thing. I did a message a few weeks ago just about spending time with the Lord and intimacy with the Lord. And there, if you weren't there for that, there are some really practical tools on how to just spend time with the Lord and be intimate with him. And I think, accentuate that every time we come to spend time with the Lord in his word or in worship or in prayer or just wanting to rest in his presence, just that it's all about his presence and being with him. It's about encountering the living God. It's not just, oh, I'm just going to read about this verse and think about it, but it's encountering his presence and his goodness. I actually don't like to read a lot when I come to spend time with the Lord. The way that I'm wired, I like to get that little nugget and just kind of lay in God's arms and chew on it and ask him to make it real to me. So, yeah.
Awesome.
I will sing a new song. I will sing a new song. I will dance a new dance.